Jill and Noe, good morning. Father, I thank you, God, that we can call on you and lean on you with things that we especially can't do anything about. And Lord, it's been a long haul for the family of David Baker, Jonah's dad, Lord, especially. It seems like, I don't know, this time of year that he can get into that place. That place of manic, that place of not thinking clearly. We pray for his safety. I pray that it's a good time, and I pray that even there might clear his head to be able to think well, make safe choices while he's hunting the deer and then the elk. And Father, with Nathaniel having to back out from helping him, Father, he's done this alone many, many times. But I do pray for him. And for Nathaniel, Lord, as we prayed for Lena, keep him safe, thinking well, and doing what he's been trained to do in that flagging. And again, Lord, thank you. Like Jenny said, it seems small, but thank you for a sink. And Jen and Ed are needing a place for James to house. So, Father, if there's a something available, we pray that you would show that to them and help them to get it on the property for James to have a weather-tight place to live in as he's helping them. And Father, whatever unspoken things remain, Lord, unsaid at this point, we just come before you and lay them at your throne of grace, seeking your grace and mercy in our time of need. But thank you, Lord, for hearing our cry over and over and over. Thank you for your mercy that's new every morning. Thank you for your grace to help in time of need. We bless that holy name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We have just a few chapters to go in David Needham's book. This morning is a little bit shorter. It's pretty fun. Close to His Majesty by David Needham, chapter 11. Does God need me? Yeah. Way back before the beginning, when there was just God, no people, no angels, just God. What was it like? Jesus gives us two hints in that wondrous prayer to his Father in John 17. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory I had with you before the world was. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. John 17, 5 and 24. Always, before the beginning of anything, there was love. There was glory. There was togetherness between God the Father and His Son and the Holy Spirit. Why then, since everything must have been perfect, did God ever start us? Did He need us? Does He need me? The 15th Psalm would appear to answer no. Almost with a degree of humor, God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all it contains. That's verse 12. It's as though God were saying, listen, do you think I would bother you if I had some need? As though I somehow depend on you to keep me going? No, God does not need us. If all the world ceased to believe in God, that would not damage him at all. My belief does not make him more, nor would my unbelief make him less. Would the sun, S-U-N, I'm sorry, would the sun cease to shine if the entire world signed a petition claiming that it did not exist? No, it would continue to rise in the morning, shine on the meadow, the stream, and the forest, and set in the evening. It would continue to blaze through the black fields of space along its determined route. The sun simply is, whether I acknowledge it or not. You and I are like little ponds of water that exist only because tiny rivulets of life pour into us. God is like a lofty ocean, above which there is nothing higher to flow into him at all. He simply is. The Apostle Paul writes, "Neither is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath in all things." Thoughts such as these used to trouble me. After all, I wanted to be needed, not just by people, but by God. We who love him want to think that we somehow are fulfilling something for him. I wondered hard about that, especially when I remembered a certain evening years ago when I was in high school. Among the things we grew on our ranch in Southern California were some 25 acres of lemon trees. On this particular day, I'd been irrigating those trees. Hot, hard, dusty work. All day long, I had nudged the water down dozens of clogged furrows, dug out gopher holes, and set and reset the water volume. By early evening, the irrigation was at last flowing smoothly, ready to run on through the night. Leaning on my shovel, I looked across the terraced hillside, down the long San Luis Rey Valley, and out to the open sea beyond. As I stood there, drinking it all in, I began to realize I was in for a special treat. The way the clouds were gathering and the colors deepening, I knew that before long I would be gazing on one of those once-in-a-long-time masterpieces. Masterpiece sunset. Suddenly, I found myself running as fast as I could, leaping ditches, cutting up terraces, pushing through the branches. Coming finally to the end of the orchard, I sprinted through the sagebrush and mesquite just below our home onto the hilltop. Crossing the driveway, lunging through the back door, I grabbed my startled mother by the arm. "Mom!" My breath came in ragged gasps. "Mom, you've got to see." Too out of breath to say any more, I half dragged her to the big picture window at the west end of our living room. "Mom, look." With my arm around her, we stood in silence as the sun glowed with vivid colors that gradually changed and finally gave way to gathering darkness. Did I need her to see the sunset? No. I could have watched it perfectly well by myself down among the trees. But something in me wanted someone else, someone to watch with me, someone who might have missed it all had I watched it alone. I wonder, could this be one of the reasons God reached down to people like you and me? Does he need me? No. And yet, I wonder. In his infinite knowledge, God is aware not only of the magnificent glory of every facet of his being, but also the endless dimensions of his own creativity. Having all of it seen, delighted in, and shared only within the Godhead perhaps was not enough. Somehow he chose to need us. He chose to want us. He has given us eternal life in Christ. Paul says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:7. Listen again to Jesus pray. "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, For you loved me before the foundation of the world. That love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. John 17:24-26. What a mystery. A God so vast, so beyond, so incomprehensible, somehow wants me. And he wants you. This very fact underlines something else too. God's message of forgiveness, of life, and hope for the human race is more than simply a proposition to be accepted or rejected. It is rather an offer of a love relationship to be enjoyed or to be forfeited. For this to be so requires something we easily take for granted. Our God is a genuine, full-fledged person. He is far more than the force or love or any other thing. He is a person who relates to us personally. Listen to part of a very familiar story. I will get up and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Luke 15:18-20. The prodigal son is you and I. The father is God. It is God who embraced and kissed us. Of course, if he had done it physically when we turned to him, it would have scared us to death. But he did do it. Could his personhood be sketched in any plainer way? Near the close of the Bible, John records one of the most intimate, tender expressions of God's personal relationship with us. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them, and he shall wipe every tear from their eyes. Revelation 21:3-4. I can't think of anything that expresses the love and tenderness we feel toward our young children more than this act of wiping away tears. At this very moment, I can look back over the years and see my little daughter running to me with tears streaming down her face, squeezing her close. I would gently wipe away those tears with my hand and wipe and wipe until at last the tears were gone. God would not delegate any tear-wiping committee when we arrive in heaven. No, he himself shall wipe away every tear. He is my, your personal Savior. In light of this profound yet most intimate truth, how important it is that you and I respond to him personally. Most of us have read with envy the various biblical accounts of God speaking directly, audibly with his people. And of course, he could still choose to speak in such a way at any time he wishes. Yet I have never heard his audible voice. Most likely you haven't either. However, since we know the Bible is his voice, let's imagine the next time you're reading your Bible. Suddenly you recognize that your circumstance is essentially the same as that of the people you are reading about. Could God possibly be saying to you that same thing he said to them? Of course he is, because God does not change, and the circumstance is the same. Perhaps right now you are wondering whether God has forgotten all about you. It hurts to feel that way, doesn't it? Has God anything to say to you right now? He does. Remember that you are feeling exactly how Israel felt so long ago. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." Then God answers, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Well, even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Isaiah 49:14-16. God is saying these very words to you now. I do not believe we misuse the scripture when we put ourselves into God's response. Even though these may forget, but I will not forget you, David. I've inscribed you, David, on the palms of my hands. Not just your name, David, but you. Yes, God is actually speaking those words to me as truly as if I heard his voice. In fact, why not let your voice be his as you personalize those promises you know are yours to claim? When no one else is around, take a verse that you know is for you and speak it out loud, inserting your name. Hear him speaking to you. It is not by chance that we call the Bible the Word of God. Yet what about those times when no scripture seems to fit? We may not be quite sure what God would wish to say to us. One night, after our children had gone to bed, I was out walking and talking with God, a practice that has become more precious to me than I can ever say. This particular night, I found myself wishing God would speak audibly to me. Something he had never done before. I was just beginning my teaching career at Multnomah School of the Bible. The preceding day had gone well enough, but for some reason I felt I needed God's stamp of approval on my work. Was he satisfied with what I was teaching about him? If only he would clear the air. It would be so simple for him to speak. Just a few words, Lord. I stopped walking. I listened. Father, I won't talk at all. I'll simply wait, just in case you have something to say. There was no answer. Nothing but the ever-present hum of the city. Though I'm not quite sure just what I had expected to happen that night, I remember turning home with a heavy heart. Was God pleased with my service? I really didn't know. The next morning I found attached to my office door, not just one or two, but a dozen individual notes from my students. As I read them, I began to cry. For each note was an expression of thanks to God for the things I had shared with them in the class the day before. That never happened before or since. Could it be that my God had personalized himself through them? The assurance of that fact flooded my spirit in that instance. He is a person. He has chosen to need us, not simply for service, but to love and to be loved. To share a closeness of relationship that will take an eternity to fulfill. Yet he has also chosen us, just like those dozen students, from time to time, to be his personal voice to someone who needs that word from God. What a wonderful privilege. May we be sensitive and available. Most of the time for now, we walk by faith, soon by sight. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Ours is a personal God who has chosen to need us. There are countless sunsets he has yet to share with us. Our friend, the artist, uppercase A, beckons us to the window. End of chapter. What are your thoughts? I'm going to go Michael, and then up to you, Wanda.
Well, I don't quite know what to say. Have a fair answer so immediately. It's a fantastic thing.
Amen.
Especially something so personal.
Mm-hmm. Wanda?
That was a different spin on things, and it brought to light a completely different topic that you would even think about. It was nice.
Wanda said that was a different angle, a different spin, that it brings to light a newness about our Father. Is that a way to word it?
Yes.
Elizabeth, was your hand up too?
Well, no, but actually,
I'm sorry, I saw a hand flutter back.
I was thinking how timely and in obedience to the Lord speaking to my heart to send a word of encouragement to a lady in Australia that's a missionary, and for her to text back that God's timing was impeccable and it was exactly what she needed to hear at that point, and I was just like, yay God, thank you.
A lot of years ago, I was still a bachelor. I don't know if Starlight existed then. At least if I knew it. A man, Vietnam vet that was crazy, threatened to kill me because of the ministry I had in helping rescue his wife and daughters from a volatile situation. I transported them to a safe haven. He had all intent to come and to kill me. And I hung up that phone from that threat. Said, okay, God, what do I do? I didn't own a weapon of any kind. I guess I had an axe out in the shed, but... And it wasn't... I didn't feel an urgency to arm myself, nor to get in my car and run away. I went around the house, quite literally, getting things in order so people could figure it out if this actually happened. And there was a knock on my door while this was going on. And Elizabeth, tell your side of the story.
Well, I used to be a shopping cart, yeah, when they had plants, and I saw this amazing little plant. It was an angel wing fern, and the Lord just really, I mean, I liked it a lot, but the Lord just impressed on me to go take it to Dan and tell him that the angels were surrounding him. I had no clue of anything, but I knocked on his door and said, Lord told me to bring you this angel wing fern. And then you can tell the rest.
She kissed me on the cheek.
Oh, I forgot that.
She did. And she, a married woman, too. And said, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm praying for your safety. She walked away. And you know what I did? Thank you, Lord. Bingo. Thank you, Lord. I've got other stories like that, but that's a very personal one with us. He knows. He cares. He is there. Another time, I was in a desperate situation. Something had occurred. Don't need to get into that. Too long of a story. I drove home from Bible school, about a 45-mile drive, numb from what had taken place. Seriously numb. I didn't remember the trip. I drove to my typical parking place in the mountains, and I jumped out of my car with my Bible in my hand and ran up a mountainside until I couldn't run anymore. I flopped down on a log and simply said, God, you've got to say something to me. You've got to give me something. And I don't study the Bible this way, but I just let the Bible flop open, and my eyes came down to one verse. I did not go in search of it. It was John 14:18. Jesus talking to his disciples. There's a whole context to it. Here's the words. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Was that for me or not?
Yeah.
Too many times to say, oh, that's a coincidence. God did exactly what David Needham is talking about here. Jen, go ahead.
I have slightly experienced like that somewhat recently, last 3 months. Sorry, James, I'm talking about you. But when James first started staying with us, there was a weekend or a couple days I left him in GP. He didn't have a phone. I only knew the name of the road the son lived on, not the home, nothing. And he had not called me to let me know to come get him or where to get him or anything. And I go in on a Friday to do something else, and we left him there on a Wednesday, Easter night. And I'm like, God, help me find him. I'm just driving the streets, literally looking. And I knew Konya had really wanted her nose pierced around her 16th birthday. This was August, so it's been 6 months since her 16th, and I'm like, okay. I looked at the street, I knew the friend was on, I couldn't find him, I'm super frustrated and frustrated. And I stop in at the piercing place just to price check, just to like get my head for a minute, and then, and you know, I say a prayer, like, if I'm meant to find him, help me find him after I leave here, or that he calls or something, and I walk out of the tattoo shop with that does piercings, and lo and behold, who's across the street talking to a man? James is right there. And like, just right across from me is amazing.
I want to add this other angle, this other side. There's a lot of times, like David Needham, I've asked, and nothing miraculous happened. Nothing spectacular. Nothing. And I know there's times where God wants me to use wisdom, common sense, give somebody else a call. You know what I'm saying? There is that. But these little moments where you get to peek in and really know that God is there and God cares. Does he need me? Interesting question. And good chapter, I feel. Okay, we got to pray soon, Ron. Let go. You'll be the last hand up. How's that?
It's been my life verse, Isaiah 43:7. Mm. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Mm-hmm. Why are we here? I created you for my glory.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord God. And Revelation 4:12 or 4:11, that you, it's for your pleasure that all of this is created and we. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the personal relationship. We have opportunity to know you now and be with you forever. To behold, to see that glory, invited into your presence to see it and experience it. Thank you for this marvelous little angle of our living God that David Needham has brought to us today. Father, as we all, each one of us here, assimilate this, Lord, I pray that you would personalize it for us in ways that you know, not ways that we can imagine and look for. Just those little nudges from you. Let us meet with you personally and know it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.